Good morning. It's good to worship with you again this morning. Welcome to all of you. We're in the middle of a sermon series, and last Sunday Joel talked about transformation. We're talking about discipleship here, and there's three things about discipleship that we really want you to get. And that is worship. A disciple is someone who worships, who's being transformed by the Word. And this morning, it's about serving. Unfortunately, last Sunday I was not here. I was at a pastor's conference in Sarasota, Florida. And I spent a couple days there, and I really worked hard not to get a tan so that you wouldn't think, you were just a little open. But no, I behaved myself. I attended the meetings. But it's always good to be here. So, forgot my clicker. We have this theory that we hold rather lightly, but that the devil resides back there, not in the people, but in the machines. There's always a glitch there somewhere. So we're in your text, the text this morning. If you have your Bibles, devices, I want you to turn to that because we want to look at Romans 12 a little bit more depth in these verses. But before that, Jesus was, one time there's a story in Mark and actually in Matthew 2 where the disciples were talking to Jesus and James and John said, Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask you. And like, would you sign a blank check? And so Jesus wisely didn't sign the blank check. Said, what do you want me to do? And Peter and John said, well, in your kingdom, we want one of us want to sit on your right hand and one on the left. Let's position. We want power and authority in your kingdom. And then Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking, really. But then he makes this, it's a teachable moment for his disciples. And he went on to say that whoever wants to be great among you must learn to be a servant. Let me say that again. Whoever wants to be great among you must also be your... You can say it. It's okay. Say it. Servant. All together. Servant. So, the kingdom is about serving. And then the verse goes on, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So Jesus came not to be served, but he came to serve. And who knows the rest of that verse? Somebody say it. And it's close. Give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life as a ransom for many. So the heart of being a Christian, one of the things that are so important is to learn to follow Jesus' example, to be a servant. And Albert Einstein, outside of the religious context, a very smart man, said only a life lived in service to others is worth living. The Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve. So we're talking about this simple path of discipleship. As Nehemiah in the Old Testament had this God-given vision to engage everyone in this work to bring God's kingdom to every human heart in the world. That is the passion of Jesus. That's the story of the Bible. When Jesus saw the crowds, they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and his heart broke because he wants to bring everybody into his kingdom to experience his love and forgiveness. So Nehemiah's project was build the wall, and we as a local congregation, a church, our project is that we want every one of you to be engaged in the work of being a disciple of Jesus Christ, to bring God's kingdom to every human heart in the world. Maturing disciples who make disciples. So that's a bit of the background of this sermon series, and we went through worship, transformation, and now we're looking at this text that talks about serving. So now we're into Romans, the text there, and it starts off, before it starts about serving and using the gifts, there's two verses here that you really want to take notice of. The grace given to me, I say to everyone, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but think with sober judgment. So let's unpack that a little bit. What does that mean to, first of all, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought? So most religions, when they talk about the human nature, they identify pride as a major human problem. And the Bible includes that also as a significant problem. And in our culture, what we really want to teach our children and adults to have, to avoid low self-esteem and to have good self-esteem, right? And there's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. But possibly the bigger danger is to live your, to grow up thinking that the universe evolves around you, to have a self-centered mindset. So the Bible identifies that as a bigger problem than low self-esteem. So over and over, the Bible and Jesus encourages us to resist being proud. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So a right view of ourself is to avoid pride, thinking more highly of yourself, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. So in accordance with the faith that God has distributed. So the sober judgment, the idea there is not to be under the influence of wrong thinking about yourself. Kind of like being drunk with wine. Don't be under the influence of something else, but be rigorously accurate in the judgment of yourself. Think of yourself in the right way. Completely in touch with reality. This is who I am. So don't think less of your abilities because you're made in God's image, you're a child of God, but neither think more than you should. Think straight. So every one of us here, we have gifts, we have abilities, we have things that we can look at ourselves and say, thank you. I'm proud of this in a godly sort of way. But so to think right about yourself. And then the faith, according to the faith that God has distributed to each of you. And the idea there, King James says, according to the measure of faith. And so it's easy to think, well, if we have, how much faith do I have? But I don't think that's what it means, the measure of faith. Think of the measure of faith according to the faith that God has distributed with you. Think of it, it's the standard of measurement that God has given equally to every one of His children. So if you're a believer here, then you have this same measure of faith. And I think it's talking about the saving faith in Christ Jesus. And that's how we are to measure ourselves. So let me explain that a bit more. We all are saved by faith, right? And so we all have the same amount of faith that saves us. It's a saving faith of Jesus Christ, not the faith, the trust that we have. So here's where it gets real practical. You've heard this expression, it's level at the foot of the cross. And what that means is we all share faith, the same amount of faith. So for the worst of us here, whoever that might be, don't look at anybody right now, but just think. For the worst of us, the faith, the faith of Jesus declares that you are forgiven. Through the saving faith of Jesus, you are forgiven. So there's no one here that's better than anyone else. We're all sinners. We're equally sinners and we're equally saved. Accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you, which is the same. We're all forgiven no matter what fault or sin or weakness that we're struggling with. No matter of your background, your abilities, your past failures, we're all saved and God loves us equally. So what this does, this is a gospel message, it prevents you from thinking you're better than someone else, huh? It prevents you, if you understand this, then you're no better than anyone else here. You get that? Now you think, well, I never did what so-and-so did and so-and-so did, and I, you know, Joe, don't say that. No, in God's eyes, you're no better than anyone else here. And in the same way, you're no worse than anyone else here. You say, oh my, Joe, if you just knew what I struggle with and my past and what happened this week. No, in faith, you're no worse than anyone else. So you're no better, you're no worse. We're all equal in the eyes of God. So Paul's making that point very clear. Don't think of yourself more highly. Don't be proud. And think of yourself accurately. That we're all sinners. We're all broken. We're all saved by faith. No one is better here. No one is worse here. We're all equal. And then he goes on to the next verse. There we go. And together we make up the body of Christ. The next verse here in verse 4. Each of you is one body with many members, like our physical body. So we together make up the body of Christ. And so the church is called the body of Christ. And that applies to the church universal, worldwide, but it also applies to the local congregation. As the congregations form, we connect with each other, we all belong to Christ, and we function as the body of Christ, and everybody has a function. We're different parts, and in 1 Corinthians 12, it makes a big deal about the body having different parts, and there's parts that serve different functions, but they're all very important. So that's in the body of Christ. We in Christ form one body, and each member belongs to the other. So one of the real problems in American Christianity today is this individualism, where, you know, I'm saved and I don't need to be a part of a church. I can just, it's me and Jesus. I can do my own thing. And if you think about it, it comes not from the Bible, but it comes from the whole spirit of the wealthy American dream, follow my own desires. And I don't need others. I can be my own person. And it's so not biblical. What the Bible, the New Testament, Jesus teaches over and over is that we together are followers of Jesus. We together are the body of Christ. And every person is important and every person is needed. And so then Paul goes on after making that point, those two points, that now we have different gifts. And so he lists some gifts here, and I believe, and there's four passages that talk about spiritual gifts. And this is a summary of these four passages and some of the gifts that are listed, and I don't think these gifts are, these lists in these passages are limited, just a sampling of spiritual gifts that God gives you as a Christian. If you are a follower of Jesus and you've given your heart to Jesus, a simple faith, then God's Spirit lives in you, and then the Holy Spirit begins to release in you spiritual gifts, special abilities to serve the body of Christ. And so there's speaking gifts, there's leading gifts, and there's serving gifts. It's one way to categorize them. So maybe you heard this illustration before, but say you're in a group and say 10, 15 people, and you're having a meal, and somebody, the hostess comes and has a nice dessert cake there, and just as she approaches the table, she trips and the cake ends up on the floor. Now, I'm going to submit to you, what would you do? What would you do? All right, there's three categories of response. So raise your hand. Let me give you all three of them first. And there's no fourth option. Just humor me. And pick one of these. Some of you will be saying, I'm so sorry. Next time be a bit more careful. I noticed that cake was a little off to the one side of the platter, so that's probably why I said she tripped. But let's say she didn't trip. Or there's something on the floor. So you're thinking and you're speaking. you're either encouraging or you're, you know, I see what went wrong here. Or the next time you need to be more careful. Then there's the leadership gifts where some of you are thinking, Susie, would you get the dustpan or the broom or the, what do you do when to spill a cake, a rag? And you,
a dog.
I get the dog, yeah. And so you're administrating it. Let's fix this. Let's clean it up. And the others are, some of you are, you're already on the floor. You're scraping it up. You called the dog already and you're just, you're cleaning it up. You're serving. You got that? How many would tend to be a speaking gift? Raise your hand. All right, a few brave souls there. How many would tend to want to organize and let's get this ball rolling here? All right, some of you. How many would just want to get down there and clean it up? All right. Now, no response is better than the other. They're all gifts. And it goes with our personality, but God uses our personality. In fact, God uses in our spiritual gifts. We've used this over in the past. You serve the church, the body of Christ, according to your shape. There's spiritual gifts, special abilities. There's your heart passion. What are you passionate about? There's abilities that God has given you to work with your hands or with arts or something like that. And then you just have a real passion, a burden, something that just makes you smile or that brings tears to your eyes. And then there's your life experience. And you put all those together and that makes who you are. That's your shape. And then you serve the body of Christ according to your shape. So, I can't emphasize enough that it's so important for your benefit, for the body of Christ, for the church, that we all function, work together as servants to serve Jesus, using our shape. And that service becomes a focus of our life. Now, why might you not want to serve? I don't know. Think about that. I don't have any a list of reasons here, but I'm intrigued with because some of us, like me and Naomi and I, we grew up and that was just our culture. We just, yeah, you serve the church. And some of you are didn't grow up that way. And whatever the reason, I'm intrigued with why people pull back from this. And I'm afraid that one of the reasons is, and if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, don't. But is that we're too busy with our own life. We're too busy with our own life. And it may not be a bad thing, but is it the best thing? We're too busy. We fill their life up with other things. And so I really want you to think about that. Now there's some legitimate, if the shoe fits, wear it. So when Naomi had a house full of babies and she was, you know, life was busy, she had very little time to help others. And so there's life seasons that are legit. But I want you to think about that. Am I investing my life? Because Jesus said, this hard-hitting verse that Jesus said, large crowds were following Jesus, and he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, you with me? Does not hate father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Pretty hard-hitting verse. Service, investing your life in serving is not optional for a follower of Jesus. So how do you serve? I'm going to spend the rest of the time here just some real practical ways. And the purpose of this next couple minutes is not to guilt anyone into, you need to help Oakdale. It's not. Because, like I said, we go through life seasons. Some of us can serve more than others. But I maintain that everyone if you're attending here, there's little ways, some ways that you can help. So we introduced to in your bulletin, we have we function here as ministry teams, and here's the chart of the ministry teams that are we have functioning right now. And ministry teams, we don't have committees that we appoint people to. We appoint the leaders of the names here. But any team you are is open. It's an open team, so anyone can join at any time. And what I love about Oakdale is that once you're on a team, you're not on for life unless you want to be. We try not to pressure you. So you can come in, you can come out, according to what you're experiencing in your life and what your availability is, your interests. So we have all these areas of ministry, and we have a specific two forms here that I'd like you to notice in your bulletin. We do this typically once a year here at Oakdale, the Yes, I Can Help. And so if you look at your shape and you look at your life situation, you say, you know, I'd like to help. I'd like to use my gifts, my shape, to serve the body of Christ in some way. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to be attending for so long, a certain length of time. You just need to love Jesus and be willing to serve, and we'll help you find your place. And so take a look at this, and if you see an interest, an area here that you'd be interested in, we'd love to have you just check that box. Yeah, I'd be interested sometime in helping in this. And what we'll do with this form is that we will contact you and talk to you about what this means and how you could fit in. So you're not signing on the dotted line by checking this box. You're just saying, I'm interested to talk to somebody about serving in this way. And then be sure and sign your name and tell us how we can get a hold of you. And then we have a box at the back beside each door. You can just put the box in either box. So take a look at this, and if you want some time to pray about it, bring it back next Sunday. If you know now, check it. And we'd love to have you involved and help. And then Naomi, my wife here, is a children's director, and she specifically asked that we include this form, because this is the children's ministry. Well, actually, on the one side, there's immediate needs that if you want to get, you want to start helping this month or next Sunday, there's things that we could use help with right now, and you can jump right in and start serving. And then on the other side is the children's ministry. And since we went to two services, it's taken twice the number of children's GO classes, Growing Oaks classes, volunteers to teach, to do child care. And you see the different age brackets, first service, second service. What we've been asking teachers in the children's ministry to do is to commit for one quarter minimum. So it's a fairly small commitment. There's substitutes available that, you know, we know that often you can't be here every Sunday, so you're not locked into that. And Naomi works closely with all the teachers, so there's a lot of support, coaching available for you.
Here's your pill then. You might want to save them just as encouragement for next time.
All right, so we have the first service starting March is all filled in, as the slots are all taken. So there's one place for second service for the 2 and 2 to 4 year olds starting March. So if you want to get in right away, you have that opportunity. So the children's ministry, one thing I hear a lot about Oakdale, I heard it yesterday as people were here, we had the, what did we have here yesterday?
Candyland,
thank you. And just amazed at how many children come to this church and are involved. And we love that. And when the children come, we love to have them go to a class, age appropriate, and have a good time and love church. But it takes a lot of volunteers to run that two services. And so we really urge you, if you have any interest at all in teaching and children, and talk to Naomi, fill out the form, and Naomi would love to talk to you about that. So my passion this morning is not to make anyone feel guilty for not serving in some way here. If you're attending here and you're not involved, we love you. And there's no reason to feel guilty, except my prayer has been that the Holy Spirit would speak to you and you would be open to, okay, I do have some abilities and I have some time and I do want to honor Jesus Christ and maybe I could get involved in serving in some way. And if you sense the Holy Spirit speaking to you in that way, then we want to make it easy for you. We're talking about on-ramps. We want to have an easy on-ramp. Think interstate. You can easily get on. So we want to make it easy for you to get on and get involved in serving. And with an interstate, there's also easy off-ramps. So we're not going to tie you in. If you feel God's moving you to something else, then you're free to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you've called us to not only be your children, but you've called us to a life of service to you. And in serving you, there's incredible joy. So Lord, I pray you will release the anointing of your Holy Spirit in each of our hearts, that we won't think more highly of ourselves, we won't think more lowly of ourselves, but as we think of the saving faith and the gospel, how you've forgiven us, and you've made us worthy to serve you. And just speak to each of our hearts about how we can serve you, invest our life in serving your body. Amen.